Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
My friends feel it's their appointed duty.
Welcome back. Final hour. Scott Hamilton Show on Heisman Hump Day. You know what that means. Today is the fourth edition of our weekly segment called Heisman Hump Day. Each Wednesday until the Heisman Trophy is presented on December 11th, we've got a Heisman Trophy winner joining the Scott Hamilton Show to discuss winning the most iconic individual award in sports. And I know I say that phrase a lot, but it's because I mean it. The Heisman Trophy is just different. It's just better. It's got more history. It just means more than any other individual award. I mean, yeah, the NL MVP is great, and it's awesome to be the champion golfer of the year. That's different. That's dope, and you win that. It's different to be PGA Tour player of the year. The Heisman is different, man. And it's just, I get all the feels when I think about it, and it's special. And I don't miss the presentation. I have never in my adult life, even before that, we'll go back to when I was like 10. I have not missed a Heisman Trophy presentation. Wow. I watch them all. I've been a voter for a while, and our friend Bobby's a voter, but I've never been to the ceremony.
Really?
I've never been. I've always wanted to go, and for whatever reason, I've never gotten around to it. Laziness. It's not apathy, because I'm never apathetic about it. I enjoy it. I enjoy the entire process.
Yeah, it's a cool ceremony.
I want to go. Well, it's different than it used to be. It used to be actually at the Downtown Athletic Club, and now it's somewhere else. It's not there, because it got bigger.
Right.
And my only real issue with it is they're not consistent with the number of people they invite for the presentation as far as finalist candidates. Some years it's three, some years it's five, and it has to do with the vote. I say just bring the top five.
Yeah, that'd be
I would great. I would love that so much. Did I ever tell you my Baker Mayfield story?
No, I don't think so.
Baker Mayfield won the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is you put your top three on your ballot, you send it in, you're done.
Right.
Didn't have him on my ballot. I didn't vote for him. Wow. I didn't have him one, two, or three. Did not. I could not. Because of the way he behaved.
Ah.
It's
character.
One thing to be accused of stuff off the field, mm-hmm. innocent until proven guilty. It's another thing to maybe be a little ungentlemanly after a victory. It's another thing to have a consistent pattern of it, as he exhibited the year he won the Heisman. He planted the flag after they beat Ohio State at the Horseshoe in the middle of the stadium. He taunted fans at Kansas.
I remember that, yeah.
And then there was another incident. He was suspended for the first quarter, if not the first half, of his last game. And I said, that's not a Heisman Trophy winner. It's not how it works. So I just didn't have him on the ballot. And I wrote a column about it, and I went on Feinbaum, because I usually go on Feinbaum to discuss the Heisman. And my phone blew up. My Twitter was smoking. And look, I said, look, he's my All-American quarterback. I have no problem with his play, but he didn't act like a Heisman Trophy winner. I was the most hated man in Oklahoma. It was darn near traumatizing. But I stood by it. It's just special. I take it very seriously, being a voter.
As you should.
So we're going to continue our series today with another Heisman Trophy winner, this one from the University of Miami. Had a spectacular career with the Hurricanes, more than 7,700 yards passing, nearly 50 touchdowns. But here's the big number, 26-1. 26-1 as a starter, and that includes a national championship. He was a consensus All-American, won the Davey O'Brien, won the Walter Camp, won the Unitas, College Football Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. He's done it all, and he won the Heisman, and he's laughing. He's joining us on the Saitama Hotline. Gino Toretta, what's so darn funny?
Two national championships. I started four games in 89, too, with an injury. So I will take credit as the only Heisman Trophy winner, or probably the first, that started games as a quarterback with two two championship rings.
The ring's the thing.
And I wish I wouldn't have that one, because that one was to Alabama, and it would have been three rings.
Well, we'll not get into that George Teague and all that stuff, but. So, Gino, you know, you and I spoke a few years ago, had a blast, and I'm glad to have you back on today. And, you know, I never got to ask you this question. You had a lot of highlights, obviously, when you were quarterbacking University of Miami, but did you have one moment that you could circle and say, that was my Heisman moment?
I don't know if it was one moment. I think, you know, looking back at that season, there was a stretch of games, and Arizona had their Desert Swarm defense, and they were a lot better than they are now. They used to win games. And then we had Florida State, Penn State right in a row. I think it ended with West Virginia had a good club. And I think it was just kind of that stretch of games and playing well. And, you know, I can remember, like, Coach Bowden at the end of our game my senior year against Florida State, and he just said the difference in the game. Toretta was great, you know, and then Don Nealon, who's, you know, Hall of Fame coach after, he just said, if he's not the best player in the country, I don't know who is. And you know, so it was kind of like that stretch of games where it was our toughest defensive opponents, like four games in a row. And us winning all those games because, as we found out in the Alabama game, our offensive line was a patchwork a group that we were just trying to make it through the season, or I was trying to make it through the season healthy, I should say.
You know, is the Heisman, is that something you thought about growing up? And also, Gino, something that's always kind of interested me. You grew up in California, right?
I did. I grew up in Northern California. I was a skateboarder, and let's see, I broke one arm at 14 and the other arm at 15. My dad said he was going to saw it in half. He saw me on it again. But my brother, who came to Miami, was Tester Verde's backup. My brother went to Miami after a junior college in California, and went. He was Vinny's roommate in college his last couple of years, and went to New York, like, you know, the four or five guys that were all Vinny's roommates went to New York, and he sent me a, you know, hoodie, sweatshirt, had the DAC and the Heisman on the front, and, you know, me being the smart ass, I guess, arrogant kid that I was, I told my mom I was going to win that someday, and I didn't even know really what it was at 15. I think the first game I actually remember watching in college football was Hail Flutie, because it was, you know, Thanksgiving weekend. We were in Tahoe in the snow and skiing, and I was motorcycling in the snow, and I was like, man, that looks like it was a fun game to watch, and that was kind of the first game I even remember watching of college football.
Were you kind of like Kelly in the Bad News Bears? You're out riding the dirt bike and smoking out behind the middle school. When you come out and lead the team to victory?
I guess I was, yeah, like Kelly, but I didn't really have much talent in the skateboarding realm. I probably had the lack of scruples, because I would go down any hill, or I would jump on ramps or that stuff, but it didn't end up ever working out well for me. I know baseball and football worked out well for me, but the skateboarding and that stuff didn't work out well. I was just the youngest of four boys, and let's see, my twin brothers are 6 years older than me. My youngest brother was nine, so I was the rebel. I liked the Raiders. My parents had season tickets with the 49ers, and I just wanted to be different, I guess.
Well, what was it about Miami, though, that attracted you? I mean, obviously you had a connection there where your brother had played at Miami, but would you have considered the U otherwise? I mean, I know you were aware they were national champions and Schnellenberger had done all that stuff, but to be in California, that's a long way from South Florida, dude.
Well, when I was getting recruited, I was probably – they didn't even have star rankings back then. I don't know. I was probably a two-star ranking. I started as a senior, played receiver as a junior. And, you know, I got recruited to Washington, Cal, Washington State, and I wanted to go to Stanford. I wanted to go to Stanford first because I knew what their degree was worth, and I knew what – and then I wanted to go to UCLA because my cousin was in Southern California and we used to surf, and I'm like, oh, that'd be a hell of a place to go to college. But let's see, UCLA never even, like, called me on the phone. Stanford sent me the most letters and said I wasn't good enough. I took my visit to Washington and Washington State in December. It was snowing like heck in Pullman. I went to Miami, and it was the ticker tape parade weekend of the 87 National Championship. And I was, let's see, about 6'1", 170 pounds, dripping wet. And I can remember being on my visit, and Daniel Stubbs basically telling me, you can come here and win with us or go somewhere else and get beat by us. And I was probably afraid of him, and I knew I wasn't big enough to play at 170 pounds. And I was just like, man, I wanted to be part of a championship. I was like, man, this is unbelievable. The whole city, the whole school, ticker tape parade. I was like, I just wanted to be a part of that. And didn't know, you know, I was realistic as a high school kid, I guess. You know, I was like, you know, I don't know if it's going to work out, if I'm going to get a chance to play or not. But I knew I'd have a chance to win a national championship if I went to Miami, and that's kind of why I went there.
We're joined by Gino Toretta. You can follow him on Twitter at Gino Toretta. And, Gino, I brought you on because it's part of our Heisman Hump Day series. But while I've got you, I want to ask you this. I've always wondered this. I really enjoy the 30 for 30s on the Miami Hurricanes, the U and the U Part 2. I mean, because that was more than just a movement in sports. That was a cultural movement. It was something that I don't know can ever be replicated. What was your take on those documentaries?
Well, I know the school was not a big fan. You know, Billy Corbin's a buddy of mine, and, you know, they did not want us to do it. That's why I wasn't even on it. I was like, they did not want, you know, players to do it because they didn't know if it would come out in a negative light and that. Personally, I was there during those times. I mean, I came in 88, which was right after. I mean, heck, my brother was at the Fiesta Bowl in 86, and I remember being, let's see, I would have been 15 when they came off the buses and fatigues, and they were opening the bus windows, and the fans were screaming at them, and they were screaming back. And I was just like, holy cow, this is college football. I didn't even, you know, you go to a 49er game and you're drinking wine and cheese or walking in and things like that. It was totally different than a Cal or Stanford game. But I think that it was, we changed college football. I think that if you look what we did as a team, you know, the 83 championship, the 87 championship, my championship in 89 and 91, you know, Mike Rozier used to tell me, we made you, Nebraska made Miami. And I go, okay, you're right with 83, but we made Nebraska what they were when they went on a stretch and won three in a row, because my championship in 91, we smoked them 22-0. And, you know, nothing against Trev Alberts. He's a great player, Hall of Famer. But when he's lined up at outside linebacker, my slot receiver is Kevin Williams running the 4-2-8. I don't care how good he is, he can't cover my first slot receiver. And it was after that Osborne, you know, had more nickel players, took safeties, moved them to outside linebacker as a defensive end. But it was like we changed, you know, college football and what we did defensively back then, and even offensively going to the one back, is what everybody's doing now. And I think it was trying to get as most athletes on the field as you could, and we had a lot of fun playing. You know, I used to say, people were like, why don't you dance? I'm like, I can't. My teammates can, and I got no problem with them doing it, because, you know, this is all going to end sooner than we all think, you know, it's a game, and we're going out there and having as much fun as possible.
Does it pain you, I guess, to see Miami going through what it's going through right now? I think Manny Diaz has it on the right track. Obviously, they've looked so much better the last few weeks. They made the change of quarterback. I'm a big fan of that kid. But still, does it make you twist, though, to know that the U is no longer the alpha, at least in the state of Florida?
There's no question. And what pains me probably most is, like, for example, Amari Cooper. Luther Campbell, who's, you know, obviously known for his rapping, he coaches the high school team at Edison down here. Luther is pro these kids getting an education, getting an opportunity to play. He brought Amari Cooper to the University of Miami for football camps and essentially was told that he wasn't big enough to, you know, play at Miami. Now, he goes to Alabama, and the kid's right down the road here, becomes a star, he's one of the best players in the National Football League now. Okay, he goes there. Jerry Jeudy, he's also from Miami. Calvin Ridley goes to Georgia. I mean, it was like you could go down the list. Like, because of Amari Cooper, you essentially had probably 10 to 15 years of Hall of Fame receivers in college leave within 10 miles of this university. And that's what pains me, is these kids are here, and they're still coming out of here. And they're great players, and they become great players at Bama, Auburn, Georgia. And that's what Miami's got to get back to, is, you know, selling those kids to stay here, because there's plenty of talent to build your nucleus of your club. It's just you have to beat down, you know, these other schools that they weren't coming here. I mean, we didn't – when I was in coming out of high school, we didn't recruit nationally unless a player had shown – interest that he would come to Miami. I mean, Jesse Armstead was the number one player in the country out of Dallas, and the only reason Miami recruited him is because he said he wanted to go to Dallas. They recruited me in California because my brother went here, and they knew they could get me to convince me to come here. But first and foremost, you got to go, like Howard Snellenberger, the state of Miami. You got to go, you know, Palm Beach, Broward, and Dade County, and own this recruiting base. That's what pains me, is seeing the amount of talent on rosters that are from right here, and they could just corral some of those guys or more of them, and they would be winning, you know, more than they are.
Gino, is the onus on the administration, boosters, alumni, and all that? Because it seems to me that it's a hell of a hard sell these days when you go to these other facilities, these other schools, and they have magnificent facilities. And then you go to Miami and you've got to bus 40 minutes, correct me if I'm wrong, just to get to the stadium. What do they need to do as a university to level the playing field?
Well, I think you sell what you got. I mean, it's 75 degrees right now, and we're, you know, in the second week of November. I mean, hell, I could sell Miami. You got 365 days of great weather. You got a top 50 education in the university academically. Oh, by the way, if you stay home, you're going to be playing within, you know, 20, 30 miles of your family and friends, and they will support you. You have access to a national championship via your conference is in the Power Five, and it's, you know, you'd probably say that's one of the weaker Power Five teams. All you got to do is stay home and win the conference, and you got a shot at the playoff. If you do that, look at the guys that have gone through here. You can be in the College Hall of Fame. You can win Heisman trophies. You can win Outlands. You can win Lombardis. You can win Jim Thorpe's. You can win Maxwell's. You can win everything that you want right here locally. And, oh, by the way, where do guys, when they're done playing or playing professionally, where do they want to play? They want to play in South Florida. There's no state income tax. There's sun. You're going to settle here. You're not going to want to live in some of these other places that are recruiting you when you're done playing. I mean, there's no offense. I mean, I could sell this place up and down, but I think what we don't do is use our resources, and our resources are me. I live a mile from campus. You know, I have two national championship rings, a Heisman Trophy. Use us. Brett Romberg's down the street. Brian McKinney, Warren Sapp, Edgar and Jane. All these guys are here. Use the resources to sell these young kids to say, hey, you do it. You do it here. You are going to stay here. You know, you're gonna love it here. And that's where I think that there's plenty to sell. I mean, hell, the facilities were crap when I was in school, and we were 55-5. So as long as you got some green grass to play on and compete on a field, that's all you need.
Yeah, just a couple more questions with Gino Toretta. And, Gino, I'll give you this thought before we move on to other matters. You know, you mentioned the state income tax thing. I would use that with the NIL. Tell these kids, you come here where you get your NIL deals, you're not going to worry about taxes on it.
Well, exactly. I mean, there are so many things to do, and what I don't think that we use all of the resources that you know, get Alonzo Highsmith, Melvin Bratt, and Winston Moss. Those were the guys that came to Miami when, you know, literally Michigan and Notre Dame were the guys all the best players were going to those schools. They were the ones that said, I'm going to stay home and do this. And they won a championship in 83. They won a championship in 87. They started it. So to me is you get those guys, okay, how and why did you stay home? How do we tap that of these kids now? I mean, Earl Little, he's a little bit younger than me. His son is probably one of the best defensive backs, if not the defensive back in the country right now, is a senior at Aquinas right down the road. It should not be a question where he's going to school, and I don't think Miami's the front runner to keep him. You know, and that's where I think is, okay, how do we get him and you know, four or five players to then convince other guys to stay here? You know, you get NIL. I mean, you know, listen, I can't think of a better place. When I was in the pros, guys would be like, how did you go to school? You got the beach down the road. And these guys went to the, you know, Minnesota University of Minnesota, and their eyes were freezing shut walking to school. I can recruit against that.
Yeah.
I can recruit against every school in the country. I mean, I don't know why you'd want to go anywhere else.
We're joined by Gino Toretta. And, Gino, a couple of things before I let you go. You know, winning the Heisman, it's got to be life-changing. You're in what I consider to be the most exclusive club in sports, the best club in sports. But I came across a really cool story about you, the Heisman, and airport security. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Well, you know, as I think this was probably the start of scanning the bags and things. I don't even remember what it was. So with the trophy, we have a case that, you know, they give you a case and it's made and, you know, it's basically in foam and you put the trophy in hard case, you clap it and I can check it as a piece of luggage. Well, in Fort Lauderdale, and I haven't flown out of there in so long. The security, remember you used to have to check in, they'd put a tag and then you have to stand there and then people, you would have to scan your bags. Mm-hmm. Going through security. So you'd stand there as they were scanning all your bags. So I'm just standing there, and I'm cracking up because, you know, you see a hard case. It's just a square box. You know, it's been beaten up. It's got some stickers on it, some school stickers of places that where it's been. And the security guy is running it through, and he stops it, goes back, and then he, like, looks, like, at me, and he's like, is that what I think it is? You know, and he's like, I mean, I don't know, middle-aged white guy. I don't recognize him, you know. So then he calls every other TSA security guy over. Hey, we need to take a look at this. You know, they open the thing up, pull it out, and they're just like, oh, you know. It's just the thing is it's a showstopper. And it's just like, you realize the history that's involved in the trophy, all the guys that have won it. And what I like to say is we all had that magical season. We were all, you know, around 20, 21, 22 years old. We had that magical season. And that season is forever remembered in college football history. And it's awesome to be a part of. I mean, Mike Rozier is one of my good buddies, and George Rogers in South Carolina, you know, Johnny Ladner, rest his soul, and Hopalong Cassidy and Jay Berwanger, the first winner, was alive when I won. So it's awesome to be part of the club.
Gino Toretta won the Heisman Trophy. You'll be in the booth, right, this week for Northwestern at Wisconsin, part of Touchdown Radio's Game of the Week.
I will be. I'm heading up to Wisconsin in the morning on Friday. We got a noon game. Get to see the Badgers in Northwestern. We're at Ohio State, Nebraska. Did Michigan State couple weeks ago, so we've seen the best of the best. It's a lot of fun broadcasting the games.
Yeah, Wisconsin's won five in a row. What are they, 18 now, I think, in the playoff?
Yeah, they should. You know, it's just, you know, you got to do it week in and week out. You can't slip up anymore with the playoffs and rankings.
He's Gino Toretta, All-American, Heisman winner, traveler with the Heisman Trophy. You can follow him on Twitter at Gino Toretta. Gino, hey, man, appreciate you coming on today. Let's catch up soon.
Anytime.
All right, appreciate you, brother. It's Gino Toretta joining us on the Saitama Hotline.